We are studying the covenants, and we began studying this last week since we finished our study in the book of Romans. And covenants in the Bible are a great way to study dispensational truth. The problem I always had in my mind with dispensational truth is I kept envisioning that something started and stopped, something started and stopped, something started and stopped. But once I started looking at the covenants that are in the Bible and started studying those, you could see where certain things overlapped, where certain things had a break, where certain things literally stopped, where some things don't stop at all. And so that's what we're doing now, and we started this study last week. I'll give you a very brief review of what we did in that session so you kind of bring you up to date with where we are now. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer this morning and pray for teaching here and in all the other classes. And then, Doyle, when you pray for us, I did get a text back from Tom Bard this morning. We have a list that we keep here in the pulpit of the names of preachers around the country that Tom Bard has assembled to remind us to pray for these men. And Thanksgiving is blanked, and the guy that puts this together is an evangelist named Tom Bard, who was a pastor for 24 years up in New Hampshire. So we just put his name in there, and it turns out Tom's going to have triple bypass surgery in the morning. He's very, very weak. And so we'll insert him in the blank if you'll pray for us. Amen. Amen. All right. In the Bible, you know, we have eternity, and then Genesis chapter 1 opens and says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Well, there was God before that. and now we get a glimpse into what happens when God begins to bring things into existence. And then we have eternity out there at Revelation chapter 22 and beyond, where God makes a new heaven and a new earth, and we just go out. And he doesn't tell us much about that. Doesn't tell us much about that. Tells a whole lot about what takes place between those two. And one thing that we notice through the Bible is that there are times when God makes a covenant with men or with a man. A covenant is simply an agreement that God makes between himself and this person or group of people. And when God makes that agreement, that covenant, he intends to keep it and does keep it as long as he says that he will. And so last week when we started studying, we studied that one of the most significant events between eternity past and eternity future is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's central to everything that takes place in your Bible. And the next, I would say, or equally as important, or maybe even more important, is the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he comes to this earth and he begins to reign. So between the cross and eternity future, we have the church, which is where we're living now, the tribulation, which is a time period to come. We, thankfully, will be gone, and this world is going to go through worse trouble than it's ever been through in its entire history. And then Jesus Christ is going to come back at the end of that. We'll study all these things and enter into what is up there listed as the mill, the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, well, that's what we're dealing with now. That's what we're looking forward to in the near future. But there are some things that took place in the past that tell us a whole lot about how things run now and out in the future. And the first thing that we noticed was there was a covenant that God made with Adam in Eden, or something called the Edenic covenant. And basically, they ran around naked, didn't have to work, and ate freely. That's what college students are trained to do today. But that covenant ended with the curse, and then we went into the covenant that God made with Adam. Those two we studied last week. The covenant that God made with Adam is a bad thing. There's a curse associated with it. And basically it says, now you're going to have to work and you're going to sweat. I'm talking to the men. And the ground that you work is going to work against you with thorns and thistles. And you're going to sweat and you're going to die. The dust you came from is the dust you return to. And that's true. And for women, there's going to be sorrow, and then there is painful childbirth and more sorrow associated with that, and subjected to the rule of your husband and your desires to him. But there's also a promise that through her seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the devil, the Antichrist, will be crushed under her heel, under that seed's heel, and that the devil's seed would crucify or bruise the heel of her seed. So that's all a reference to Jesus Christ and what took place, first of all, at the cross when his heel was bruised, and what's taking place at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when the head of her seed is bruised. And so we look forward to that. Now, under this particular covenant, we've tried to do everything we can to remove its effect. There's air-conditioned tractors. There's herbicides, pesticides, and fertilizers. There are air-conditioned church buildings, air-conditioned cars, air-conditioned offices, air-conditioned homes, so you don't sweat. And there's somebody else to dig in the dirt. You just go to HEB and buy what they produced. And so you don't get the feel of it, and then there's epidurals for childbirth, and there's drugs and medications for sorrow, and there's a beautiful graveyard, and so the sting of death is not as real unless a loved one passes away and you feel it for a period of time. And the world's view is we can get rid of this. God's view is you hadn't gotten rid of anything. You still die, and there still needs to be a solution for that thing. So the effect of that covenant, as you see, runs all the way until the eternal covenant comes. Today, now, we're going to study God's covenant with Noah. Giving time, we'll go on to the next covenant, which is also God's covenant with Abraham. So let's talk about this one and find the scripture. So there's Noah spinning, so you know we're going to do Noah's covenant. And it's found in Genesis chapter 8, beginning in verse 21. And this covenant follows the worldwide flood. When the world was destroyed by water, and everything that breathed was destroyed by water. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast, every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. And he doesn't have to. I mean, it's cursed enough. Any of you guys that dig in the dirt, you know exactly. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter. God identifies six seasons. We speak of four. All you simply have to do is take the 12-month calendar and divide it into two-month periods, and you can see there is a period of cold. We don't know about that here in South Texas. And a period of heat, we know about that. Basically, 10 or 11 months out of the year, there is summer, there is winter, there's day and night. Shall not see. Oh, and then seed time and harvest, by the way. Those would be the six seasons, and then day and night shall not cease, and those things continue today, just like they did when God made this pronouncement. All right, and then in Genesis chapter 9, he says to Noah and his sons, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He says in verse 2, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. And the truth of the matter is, they are still today. We still fish. We still eat fish that are either commercially caught or farm-raised. We have domesticated animals, and we use those for our nourishment. We also have wild animals, and we shoot those for their horns. And also for their meat. And then we have other, you know, wild animals as well that rule or go around. And so he says in verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Now he's changed it. You know, we saw under the covenant with Adam, and we saw that people were still eating an herbal diet, a vegetarian diet, In Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, we became carnivores. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. And that's when we became carnivores. That's when we got to eat meat. And some of us ate some this morning. Praise the Lord. And I know that Lester Roloff was against bacon, but that was a personal choice. Some of you ate bacon this morning. I know I smelled you when you walked in the door. You made me hungry. Verse 4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. So blood was forbidden. And then he says, watch this, capital punishment, verse 5, surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So capital punishment was instituted for murder. And it had to be because Cain murdered Abel and God didn't kill him. He put a mark on him. And he says, now we're going to institute capital punishment and murder is a capital crime. So these are things that take place under this covenant. But we need to talk about it because there are more things than that. The token of this covenant in Genesis chapter 9, verse 13 is the rainbow. In other words, every covenant has a token. Notice what he says in verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. The last rainbow that I saw was Friday evening. We were driving on SPID, came on to NPID, the big rain cloud that was right here just north of us, was dumping a lot of rain, and the sun was shining into that cloud, and there that rainbow was, just clear as day. So I know that the covenant of the token of this covenant is still in effect. The terms are a carnivorous diet, men forbidden to eat blood. And that remains. In Acts chapter 15, when there's a council about how to deal with the Gentile converts, the Jewish council says about the Gentile converts, there are four things they need to abstain from, and one of them is blood. So we still don't eat blood. Capital punishment instituted, we read that. And then this thing in Genesis chapter 10, international bounds with three major nationalities. In Genesis chapter 10, part of this covenant, you see that Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The children of Japheth are listed in verses 2 down through verse 5. And then the children of Ham are listed from verse 5 down to verse 20. And the children of Shem are listed from verse 21 on down to verse 31. Now notice in verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations. What's the next word? What's the next word? Nations. And by these were the, what's that word? Nations. And what's that word? Divided. In the earth after the flood, the nations were divided. And you see this division in several places. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 10, verse 5. These were the isles of the Gentiles. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. You see it? Notice in verse 25, unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Now, what's going on in this is that God set up boundaries. He set up national divisions. And he did that for a reason. Keep your finger where you are and turn to Acts chapter 17. Excuse me. Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is preaching at Athens, and he is revealing and declaring the God that the Athenians had called the unknown God. And he's telling them what he's like. And he says in verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Watch it. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, watch it, and the bounds of their habitation. Those are the divisions, the national divisions. For what purpose? Verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So he set those bounds up so that each nation would seek the Lord, that they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of them. All right, so those are international bounds. Now, off that boat came Japheth, Shem, the second son, and Ham, the youngest son. And if you look at the names of their children in Genesis chapter 10, you can actually locate where some of these people settled, because there are places on maps that identify the areas where they went. In other words, they name the lands after themselves. If you go to Houston, Houston is named for Sam Houston. If you go to Austin, Austin is named for Stephen F. Austin, Travis County for James Travis, and so forth and so on. So they were calling these areas where they were settling after themselves, and we can find that Japheth and all of his progeny settle in Europe. They're Europeans. And Shem and his progeny all settled in Asia. They are Asians. Ham and his go south and are generally Africans. And so if you want to know where the nationalities, where the general nationalities in the earth came from, they came off of that boat. And they came from those three boys. Japheth, Europeans. And notice that when they came off that boat and then began to settle after just a couple of years, Noah pronounced something about each of those children in Genesis chapter 9. Now, there was a real problem between Ham and his father, because in Genesis chapter 9, verse 22, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. He sinned against his father. And when he did, verse 24, Noah awoke from his wine. Noah had gotten drunk and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And here's what he said. He said, "Cursed be Canaan." Who is Canaan? Well, look in Genesis chapter 10 at verse 6. The sons of Ham in Genesis 10:6 are Cush, Mitzrayim, and Phut, and Canaan. You see that? So Canaan, he says, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." Verse 26, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." In Genesis 9:27, "God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And then Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And then he died, being 950 years old. All right, so Japheth, he says, here's prophesying. He said, "Blessed be the." He says, "God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem." All right, let me ask you something. Who were the explorers that came to this country? They're all Europeans. They're Europeans. When they got here, what did they find? They found Native Americans. Who were they? They're Asians. They'd come across the Bering Straits and been in this country. And what were they dwelling in? Tents. "God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem." And they came here, and now the Native Americans that are still around are on reservations in many cases, and Europeans are dwelling in their land. And this is the case with Europeans. You see that world domination and conquering and stuff like that going on is a typical thing of Japheth. Just seeing an example of it here in our country. Shem, there are Asians primarily, and he says in verse 26, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be a servant." You know, all religions of the world are Shemitic. They're Eastern religions. Now, Christianity is an Eastern religion. Our founder is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is a descendant of Shem. All right? And you say, "Well, what about Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses?" You know what those are? That's Japheth taking a Shemitic religion, Christianity, and converting it into a monstrosity. That's what that is. And Roman Catholicism, which is European, it's a monstrous thing. But Confucianism, Taoism, and Christianity and Judaism, they're all Eastern. That's where that comes from. They're spiritual. And then Ham, primarily Africans, were dividing the world as three basic groups, if you will. I realize that today this kind of discussion gets uncomfortable with people because the idea of even mentioning somebody's nationality or race is considered to be racist and discriminatory. And this discussion is not to be considered that at all. It is to explain to you how we got here and where people come from. And he says to Canaan in verse 25, a servant of servants shall he be. In verse 26, that he would be a servant of Shem. And in verse 27, that he would be a servant of Japheth. And, you know, the sad thing is that Africa's people spread to the Caribbean, to the United States, and to many other areas of the world through slavery. And you can go on and you can build this into a long, a dissertation of analysis. We don't need to carry it much further than that. It just tells you, Matt, that this is how you got here. And God set up international bounds to basically say, I want you guys to stay where I put you. But he said, Japheth, you're not going to do that. You're moving. You're going to enlarge. And boy, he did. He went all over the world. He even went to the moon and thinking about going back. All right, so what about that? Well, he said, when I put you in these boundaries, I do that so that you can find me. All right, in our country now, this discussion we're having is not politically correct. I mean, I'm saying in a way that I'm very conscious of that, so I'm not saying anything that people would take as discrimination or a racist comment. But saying what I'm saying today, just take a look at something. In our country, when in the 60s, it became mandatory to integrate everything. It also became mandatory to kick the Bible out of school and prayer out of school. Those happened at the same time. And as we have become more of the melting pot, so to speak, in the United States, God is further and further removed from our country. Have you seen that? He said, I set up those boundaries so they'd find me, and when you remove the boundaries, they get rid of God. Look what happened in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, in verse 1, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. That's where Babylon is. And they dwelt there. What did they decide to do? They decided to build the Tower of Babel and make a city. What purpose? Verse 4. Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. You know what that whole thing was? Get to heaven without God. And get the things that God only can give us without God. You know, the world right now wants world peace without God. You see? In verse 6, the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them of that which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Purpose of that? So that individually now they would start finding it, because once we get together as a world, God goes. The United Nations is not about God. Even though up there Isaiah chapter 2 verse 4 is quoted, they'll beat their swords into pruning hooks and their spears into, I should have never started that. I have to remember how it goes. When I see it, I'm like, yeah, there it is right there. Now I misquoted the whole thing and go back there and get that. So the poor people who don't have a Bible in front of them that hear this recording won't say Hebrew. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. They love to quote that. And then they arm their soldiers and go to war to bring in peace. So it's not going to happen. And likewise, this tearing of these boundaries down, you know what it does? It just brings in the Antichrist and gets rid of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. A very interesting verse of scripture here concerning the Assyrian. And from time to time when you read your Bible and you read about the Assyrian, you are reading about the devil incarnate in a man. You're reading about the work of the Antichrist, whether it is the Antichrist that comes in the tribulation or the spirit of Antichrist that works in men. It's all from the devil. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. In other words, he says, I'm raising him up to go after my people, Israel, to punish them. He said, no, I'm going to go after all the nations. Cut off nations, not a few. And so he starts running down the list of the nations that he attacked, which was like what Sennacherib did. Now watch. Watch. Verse 13. He saith, this is what the Antichrist is saying, by the strength of my hand I have done it, which is it true, and by my wisdom, and I am prudent, and have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. I pray for our government continuously. Respect the offices of those that are in positions of authority. But our inhabitants are being put down in this country. Our founder said you cannot enslave a Bible-reading people. Get rid of the Bible and you can enslave them. And he says here, I have removed the bounds of the people. Interesting that we had such a fuss through this presidential campaign over a border wall, a boundary or a boundary remover. Watch it. And have robbed their treasures. Your country today is $20 trillion in debt. Your treasures have been robbed. Verse 14, and my hand hath found a nest, as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or peeped. The Lord says, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? The Lord's using him. But this is what he's doing. And that's all, you know what it is? It is a violation of the covenant with Noah. He said, as long as there's a rainbow, I don't intend for that rainbow to mean unification where every abominable sin is now legalized by your country and all boundaries are down. This is where that rainbow is being used. I want you to understand there are divisions. And I'm not going to flood this earth with a flood again. And he hasn't. Not like Noah's flood. So this goes from the flood through the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, except for one thing. Carnivorous animals will settle down and they will start eating straw like the ox. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, Jesus Christ comes. That's what the first five verses are about. Verse 5 says, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Talking about Jesus Christ. And in verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. So that part of this covenant lifts during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ as an indication of the peacemaker being on earth, that Jesus Christ is here. But the rest of that continues, just like it did before. And there are going to be 12 nations in the earth. under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ that match the 12 tribes of Israel. And he will have them in their bounds, and they will be identified as their separate nations and nationalities. All right, so I drew the line. It goes all the way from Noah through the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put some little arrows out on the end of that just to let you know that there is a partial control under that particular covenant. Now, what's the world's view of this, what you just heard? You know what you just heard when you read your Bible and you read something like you did in Isaiah chapter 10, hopefully your understanding is going to be peaked now. You're like, okay, I see what's going on. When you read something in Acts chapter 17, hopefully you'll say, okay, that relates back to Noah's covenant. I see what's going on. In other words, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can see, hey, these are parts that are affected by Noah's covenant. Isaiah chapter 11, when the carnivores are not eating the lambs and so forth this time, you say, okay, I understand that. God is lifting a part of that. But he didn't lift capital punishment. He didn't lift capital punishment. Paul says, in his own defense, before the council, he says, if I've done anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. You know what he's saying? If I have committed a capital crime, kill me. And he was killed. So in the New Testament, capital punishment was still being executed, and people were still being executed. Just one more time, look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, Paul says to us, Romans 13, 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So when you're driving down the road and a police officer comes up with a badge and a gun, you know what? He is an ordained minister. He may not know that. He may not even treat his office that way. But he is, because he got his power from his government, and the government got its power from God. All right. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. You know, this whole idea of trying to criminalize law enforcement these days is terrible. But it is the consequence of removing God as the authority. Verse 3, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, watch it, for he beareth not the sword in vain. What does he use the sword for? To spank you? Tap you on the backside with the flat side of the sword and say, now straighten up? Or does he use the sword as the sword? It's capital punishment. He is, watch it, he is a revenger, he is the minister of God, verse 4, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So God didn't get, and if you look at the last verse in Romans chapter 1, the people that commit sin know that they're worthy of death. So God didn't get rid of capital punishment just because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be affected by God's mercy because he was so merciful with you and say, he needs to be merciful with everybody. But if it's a capital crime, God says you need to execute judgment. Numbers tells us, the book of Numbers tells us that when somebody murders somebody and they're not killed for it, that blood that was shed on that ground pollutes the earth. People talk about the carbon footprint. I'm going to tell you what, the blood footprint in this country is far worse than the carbon footprint. Any day of the, because capital punishment was not lifted by the cross. You see how important it is, rightly dividing the word of truth. You hit the cross and you say, man, God has had mercy on me. Paul was responsible for the death of a lot of people, and he was given mercy by God. But you know what? He did what he did ignorantly and under the authority of the law. So he wasn't a violator. And God did have mercy. But then he said, if I've done anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. So that covenant of Noah for capital punishment continues right on through today. And governments that don't use it are held responsible for what they do. All right, you know what the world's view is? The world's view is we're going to get rid of capital punishment. And that's what we've done, or trying to do. In some states, we have. Even though capital punishment continues right through the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn with me to Zechariah chapter 13. We're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. Hopefully, this study is going to wake up your Bible study and reading, and so when you're seeing verses, you're like, okay, I understand where this fits. Zechariah chapter 13. Look at verse 2. Verse 1 for the context. This is during the reign of Jesus Christ. In that day, speaking now of the reign of Jesus Christ, there should be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets, and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. Capital punishment. Executed by his own parents for prophesying with an unclean spirit during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. That's an eye-opener. You see, if you get all of your doctrine from the television, you get the wrong doctrine. If you get your doctrine from the Bible, you get the right doctrine. So what else has the world tried to do with this? Animal rights groups have tried to protect animals from men. You can be fined more heavily for an endangered species than you can for far worse crimes against men. The United Nations, following Nimrod's example that we read in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel, has tried to break down the international boundaries in cooperation with the devil. He said, those are strong words. That's what they're doing. Now, they may not have a clue that they're doing that because they're not reading the Bible to see what the instructions are. They're just going with their heart and their feeling. And if you just went with your heart and your feeling, you would say the same thing. We just need to all get together and have a love-in. This war is crazy. It's what you do and may have done when you were younger. You read the Bible and you go, oh, the Bible's so hard. I mean, not necessarily understand, but to do. You know what? You don't have international conflict if you stay in your boundary and they stay in theirs. There's no reason to fight. The philosophy that all men are created equal has been promoted to erase all national distinctions among Europeans, Asians, and Africans. Listen, when missionaries come to this pulpit and tell you what it's like on the mission field, they'll tell you from time to time, we don't go to those countries to make Americans out of the inhabitants of those countries. We go to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll tell you, we have to learn the language, and we have to learn the culture, and the diet, and the government, and everything else. Why? They're not the same. They don't do things the same. How many of y'all like to listen to Asian music, besides those of you who have Asian descent? I mean, you just love it. Just can't wait to get home and turn some of that on. Boing, bing, boing, boing. Boing, 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 boing. And you're sitting there trying to go, how do I get the beat to this? That's why you like, if you have any European descent, it's why you like the hymns. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye. 2, 3, 4. You know, you're Europeans. And they're not the same. Don't smell the same, don't look the same, don't talk the same, don't like the same things. Equal access to the rights that are available in this country, yes, but same people, no. I'm a mess. I'm German, Irish, and Spanish. They should have stayed in the boundaries. I'm hot-headed, cold-blooded, and stubborn. It's not a good combination. Religions have worship services involving drinking blood. Any of y'all grow up in Catholicism? It was called transubstantiation. And it was against Noah's covenant and the law in Leviticus chapter 17 and the New Testament in Acts chapter 15. But this is what men do. And during the tribulation, according to Revelation chapter 17, verse 6, they will literally drink the blood of the sacrifices of the martyrs. If any of y'all studied the history of the Vietnam War and the World War II, you know that there were incidences of that against our own soldiers to increase the spirit of the people that we fought in certain areas. It's interesting, isn't it? Salvation. How are they saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? Couldn't. Not at that time. Because they didn't even know who he was. Furthermore, he hadn't died on the cross. But Noah's family was spared. And there were people that lived from this time to the next covenant under Abraham who got to heaven, you know. Or are saved or are going to live forever in the earth at some point. How do they do that? They do by faith what God said. God said, build a boat. Build that ark. He could have said, you got to be kidding me, man. You want that ark built? You made all this. You made the stars and the sun and the moon. You make it. I don't see anywhere in here where they had that discussion. Noah was not a millennial. He didn't search on Google and have Amazon deliver one on Prime in 2 days. Assembly instructions included. But you know what? Because people don't, you know, because people are still affected by this covenant, based on this covenant, there are men and women today who think they can get to heaven by adopting do-gooder policies to protect criminals, animals, and the environment. Environmentalists look at this thing here and say, you know, we got to take care of the earth. And they approve global one world policies to bring all men together for the common good. You know, one thing that you saw in the campaign is the difference between a nationalist and a globalist. And when you look at the results, I never talked about the election much leading up to it, but just talk about the results. The rural people voted for the nationalist. The city people, predominantly, voted for the globalist. Because they're already used to that get together for the common good. The problem is they're all mistaken because God is going to destroy this earth in 2 Peter chapter 3. Down to the elements, he's going to burn the elements. And the nations in Zephaniah chapter 3 are going to be gathered together at Armageddon so God can destroy them too. You don't go against this covenant and throw it back in God's face and get anything but destruction. And you need to know this, and it helps you to understand your Bible. Amen? Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to study yet another covenant in the Bible. We pray that you will help us to be very faithful and diligent in our study so that we understand more and more. And I pray as we review and study, you'll help each of us to be better students of the Word of God and faithful stewards of what we learn for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.